Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Coach McVay Show presented by Microsoft Surface. I'm JB Long, DeMarco Farr, and the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay. This is one of those shows where I probably don't even need to ask the first question. I'm sure you can take it from here. How's your quarterback?
You know, he's doing better than I think what we originally anticipated. It was a strain of the UCL ligament, which, you know, in his right thumb, which is a big deal, and prevented him being able to, you know, grip the football. He's as tough as it gets. You know, but we were initially worried that it was possibly torn, some different things like that. So we'll take it a day at a time with him. But those were positive. That was encouraging news relative to maybe what we thought during the game yesterday. And that was a positive thing.
As never an easy choice. I'm sure he wanted to go. Everyone wanted him to go. It's just like, I can't grip the football.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, he's... Yeah. You know, what he did, and the thing, too, is the momentum that he was building. You know when he gets hot, he's one of those quarterbacks that is just really dangerous in a positive way for our team. And, you know, I thought it was a really good scoring drive that he led us on at the end of the first half and then marched us right down the field in the beginning of the second half, gets a two-point play, ends up cutting the lead to two-possession game, and, you know, and then that was it for him. But he is—he's a stud, and you know, he'll do everything in his power to get back as soon as he can. And if he's not able to go this week, then we'll have to figure out exactly what that looks like. You know, in terms of got Brett Rippon in house, and then there's some other things that we can possibly explore just to add some depth to that room where we've discussed maybe even having three in general, anyways. And this obviously increases the urgency on that conversation.
Timing's interesting, isn't it? Because you do have the bye on the back of this. You almost get a 2-for-1 if he doesn't go. But I imagine you're going to have to rip that football from his hands to keep him from playing against the Packers, given what's at stake.
I think so. You know, I mean, every game matters. And there's a couple opportunities that I think, you know, we'd maybe didn't capitalize on earlier in the season that, you know, now there becomes an even smaller margin for error. But we're going to be smart with Matthew. And, you know, he's going to do everything in his power to be available. And we'll see what that looks like. But I think we've got to plan on, you know, seeing if he is able to go, outstanding news. And if he's not, what does that look like? And how do we put together a plan that maximizes our player's ability and knowing that we're going to be, you know, missing our leader and our guy. But, you know, sometimes that can bring out the best in people and they need to step up based on some of the voids that we would have if our guy wasn't available.
If you're ripping. I played with his uncle, by the way.
Yeah.
Makes me feel old right now. But if you're Rip, you're acting as if you're the guy, right? That's what you have to do if you're the quarterback.
I think you have to do that every single week, you know, because of the volatility of it, you know, where you could see there was a lot of things that he was prepared to go into that game. And it was it's a very tough, unique circumstance and situation, trailing on the road at Dallas, where, you know, they're an excellent defense. And I thought he did some really good things, but absolutely. And I think that's the nature of backup quarterback position in general is, all right, how do you mentally prepare yourself that if that situation that nobody wants to see arises, all right, am I ready to step in and seamlessly be able to operate the game plan that maybe I haven't gotten as many reps, but I'm taking those mental reps and making sure that I'm prepared to operate, you know, as seamlessly as I possibly can.
I did laugh about that on the sideline. That people always make jokes about the backup quarterback, greatest job in the world, right? Okay. Now you're down 24 in Dallas. It's loud, and Micah Parsons is out there.
Yeah.
By the way, go get him.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a tough job, right?
Tough job.
For the benefit of our audience, because the trade deadline's tomorrow, do you mind if I just kind of put like all the cards out there on the table, which is to say, you look at the Niners on a 3-game losing streak. Mm. You look at the NFC playoff bubble being pretty soft. The 7-seed just lost Kirk Cousins, right? Like, there's a lot of context into where the Rams are right now, including the fact that you've played some of the best teams out there and some of the best pass rushes out there. So I guess that's a long way of getting around to the fact that people might have said, okay, the Rams lost yesterday. That's it. Pack it in. Prepare for the offseason.
No, absolutely.
The 23 Rams are still in this fight.
Absolutely. And the reality is there's still a lot of football left to be played. We've got 9 games left on the schedule. And you're talking about the margin for error. I mean, if we end up finding a way to get, you know, it done with a couple plays against Pittsburgh, which was just a week ago, you're talking about us in that 7th spot right now. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, what you can't get caught up in are, you know, trying to predict the future instead of just being present. And let's go play a good game. Let's see if we can respond after what was not a good performance by us yesterday. You know, you give Dallas the credit, but we did a lot of things that helped, you know, of them have some of that success. And we can't do that. You know, we've got to be able to eliminate those things that are going to be key and critical for us to move forward the right way. We've got to be able to have a little bit more clarity, got to be able to coach better, play better, and everybody can be a little bit better. And if we do that, and we focus on putting together a great week of preparation, let's see if we can put together a good 3.5 hours in that window of time that we're allotted next Sunday in Green Bay. And if we can go ahead and build some momentum going into that bye, you know, that's all we can do, and that's where we're at. And there's a lot of football left to be played, and this story isn't over.
No, I heard what you said. Look, all we can do is focus on the now, and you can't let something like that beat you 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
That's just bad ball. That's just not how it goes. So how do you regroup? How do you keep this ship going in the right direction?
Well,
after something like that,
you go back to work. You know, you acknowledge the things that are going to be in alignment with what we have to be able to correct to move forward the right way, and then you don't spend emotional energy on stuff that doesn't have anything to do with how we play this next week. And mm-hmm. so you go back to your process. You know, you maybe make some tweaks here and there to be able to figure out, all right, what's the best way to be able to get us firing on all cylinders, and get back to just playing good quality football. You know, good fundamentals, good technique, great communication, good sense of urgency. Playing the way that we're capable of, that we've seen in those moments. And yesterday there was not, it wasn't all bad, but that wasn't the team that we've been. That was an outlier performance, and people that have been following us know that, and our players know that too.
What about the rest of the injury report? I know Kobe Durant is one to check in on, and Rob Havenstein was not able to go for the first time last week.
Yeah, Rob, you know, we'll continue to monitor. He tweaked his calf during practice, which is kind of a freak little deal for, you know, an offensive lineman, and those can be tricky injuries, and so he'll be day-to-day. I know he's going to do everything in his power, similar to those other guys I've mentioned, you know, to be able to get back. So we'll see what that looks like. With Kobe Durant, he ended up getting his shoulder tweaked, you know, where he had a little bit of a stinger. Those can be some funky injuries. He'll be day to day, and we'll see how he responds when he comes back on Wednesday.
I thought Boom was at right tackle. I mean, he's played everywhere.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, you can play.
It's really valuable to have a guy that can do as much as he does. And he's a starter. He's already started, you know, at both tackles and the right guard position this year. So it's been pretty impressive, and we're sure grateful to have Joe. And it's like anything else, you know, repetition is the mother of learning. And mm-hmm. so the more reps you get at those spots, the more comfortable you get. But people just think, oh, you play left tackle, you play right tackle. It's, you know, there's a lot of different nuances to playing on the left and the right side. And now, oh, wait, by the way, let's play the guard spot.
Right.
And, you know, all the different switches. You got to be able to switch off TEs with guys like you, you know, trying to penetrate. And so there's a lot of moving parts. Joe's done a nice job being a really valuable, versatile piece for us.
You know, outside of a curious penalty on that opening sequence, we felt like Quentin Lake continues to emerge and continues to play more roles within your defense, given what happened to Durant.
And it's been earned. And you're going to continue to see that. He's a guy that is just doing a great job. I'm not interested in over-evaluating a very weird situation that, you know, that was an interesting one, to say the least, you know, that penalty. But he is a guy that has done a great job. He's got a great demeanor about himself. He's got a great pedigree. He's only getting better the more that he plays. I thought he had a great pass breakup on the sidelines. When you just look at the body movement, his physicality that he plays with on the perimeter, you're going to see a lot more of him because he's earning that.
I could fertilize my lawn. I'm just saying. Is that a better way to say it? Just crazy. I mean, how do you miss that call in the middle of the field with number 10? I'm sorry. You brought up the P word.
You're talking about the one.
If you're going to call that, call the other
one.
I'm sorry.
This is the coach's show. You just want to see some of the consistencies.
He's only the Triple Crown Super Bowl MVP.
Every camera in the world's on him. I'm sorry. Go ahead, coach.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll keep moving on the defense then. Christian Roseboom can play in the post, huh? Mm-hmm. A couple weeks in a row, he's getting deflections deep down the field. This one leads to a Jordan Fuller interception.
Yeah, no, that was good. You know, we were in a tight red area right there. A lot of body presence. Tried to end up hitting a, you know, a little crossing route. He tips it up, and Jordan is another guy that's played really well, played really consistent. But you know, Roseboom's just, you know, he's getting better the more he plays as well.
He's solid, man. Comes in like you said, like a scalded dog on the road. Your D line at the beginning of the game. I mean, if you would have looked at the first four plays of defense, no way these guys give up 43 points with the way they're getting off the ball and getting after the quarterback. That's just crazy.
Yeah, and they really didn't, you know, because you look at it, we gave him a defensive touchdown. We got to be better on special teams with a block punt for a safety and then basically a long return that puts him in the tight red area. So, but that first drive, it was really interesting, you know, because you end up getting a sack on the first play of the game with Hoyt. Byron Young ends up making a sack on the third play of the game that gets called back, you know, for the penalty that advances that drive. Mm-hmm. Aaron ends up making a sack on the fourth play of the game. And so a weird confluence of events, but football is a game about momentum, and we've got to be able to move from one snap to the next. There were some instances where things that are out of our control, you know, how much better can we be about being able to just move on and compartmentalize it? And whether it be right or wrong, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's about how we move forward. But I did think there was some positives, and we got to continuously just stack consistent performances, consistent series, consistent drives, and consistent ability to be able to move forward in a manner that's reflective of being the team we want to be.
Tell me about the shock of a block punt, because I don't think there's a sicker sound in football than the double thud.
Yeah, unless you're on the punt return.
Unless you're on the other side. You know? Yeah, I mean, so, the shock of it.
Yeah, like, it's terrible. Team, yeah. It's been, you know, it's not fun. And it was kind of, it was a very, you know, abnormal deal where one of our more reliable players ends up, you know, just kind of, you know, not using the techniques. He actually false started on it. You know, you would wish they would have just called the false start and blown the play dead. But it was an unfortunate deal. And then I thought it, you know, that was a bad play. And then to be able to say, all right, punt after a safety and have them return it the way that they did, thought there was a couple bad plays that compounded on top of one another. And, you know, sometimes that's football, and you give credit to the, you know, the Cowboys for being able to create that. And we've got to start being able to do some of those things on our own as well.
While we're on the topic of teams, Lucas Haversick seemed to be a silver
lining.
Yeah,
he was great. I thought that was a real positive, JB. And, you know, just his demeanor, his ability to execute, you could see it wasn't too big for him. And he certainly has some pop. I mean, that ball jumps off his leg with immediate height and distance. And he's got a nice swagger about himself. So
also
it was
the circumstance you're able to get him into, right? You don't love the way that the game shaped up, but his first is essentially an extra point, like a 33-yarder, and then you get to stretch him a little bit at game's end where the pressure is essentially off.
Absolutely. But just to get him that experience, those game reps, and I think he can positively use that moving into an opportunity to go to Lambeau this week.
Excited about going back to Lambeau?
I'm excited about jumping on this preparation, you know, because there's a process that you go through, you know, with these games. You know, even last week, like, what an amazing blessing to be able to have our little boy come healthy and safe. And man, that's a life-changing thing, as you guys both know, and so grateful for that. But it was such a quick turnaround. You don't ever really process some of the disappointment of, you know, the Pittsburgh game. And they're, you know, grieving's a strong word. So let me, I don't know if that's the appropriate way, but getting through where you say, all right, let me digest this, and then how do we reset and then, you know, reload our focus in a manner that is reflective of what we want to be able to do moving towards the Packers, or if it was moving towards the Cowboys. And I don't know that we were able to really ever do that last week. I know I felt a little bit off with the rhythm and different things like that. And now this week, what I am excited about is as we finish up right here, you say, okay, let's put this Cowboys game to bed. Let's flush that, and then let's expend all of our energy on the Packers and figuring out how we can establish and build some momentum going into our bye.
What was that like last week? Were you able to get to the point by kickoff yesterday where you felt like you normally do on a game day?
I did, but you know, what you appreciate is the connection that you have with the guys throughout the course of the week, and whether it's you're not there on Tuesday, and by no means, I mean, there is nothing that's more important than my family and those types of things, but this is also your family, and we're creatures of habit. I know I certainly am. And your rhythm and your routine and everything that you do leading up to, you know, the preparation for Sundays or Mondays or whenever you're kicking off. And it was off. And, you know, the element of the sleep and taking care of yourself while also making sure that you're connected with the players and the coaches and leading the way that you want to. I'd be lying if I said I did feel good by the time kickoff went, but the way that you got to it, you just felt a little distant from the team, and that was you know, that you feel bad about that,
no doubt. That when people ask me, the young kids, what is it like to be in the NFL, it's that right there. You got to deal with life and the game at the same time, and the game's not going to wait for you.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Being pros.
Speaking of Byron Young from a few questions back, he was our guest in here for our player feature this week. And what an interesting story he is to be away from football essentially for a couple years and to be living life, like earning wages, doing something different.
Right.
And to find your path back to be a starter, going to Lambeau Field as a Ram, that's that's going to really add some gravitas to your roster, I would think.
I think perspective, you know, just the perspective, the different things that he was able to go through and then how that led him to Tennessee and the upward trajectory there. And he's a special guy. He's gotten better and better. He's playing really good football. And, you know, I think those perspectives and experiences really shape you into the person that you can be, you know, the person that you are. And he certainly is a mentally tough guy that has a real appropriate perspective and I think an appreciation for a lot of things that, you know, you don't necessarily take for granted that maybe sometimes other people do.
You think mentally tough? He's a pass rusher wearing number zero. You better be good.
No doubt, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of the baby, do you see Joey Molinaro's impersonation of your first conversation with Jordan by any chance?
No,
the
I did
comedian?
Not.
Do you want to see it?
Oh, sure. No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know
you
at
don't
all.
You know Joey? He's great.
I mean, I know who... I've heard him impersonate me before. Yeah. But
have you? Okay. I got it right here.
Oh, this is going to be nuts.
Have you seen this?
No.
Pass this your child.
Yeah, really impressed with your timing, man. I told everybody that you weren't going to come on a game day, and you didn't. So really pleased about that. Timing's important, man. It's important in life. It's important in our offense, especially. Yo, Cup puts his foot in the ground, 15-yard dig route. Stafford's got to put it on him. Got to know, even sometimes when he's not even looking, got to be able to ready to throw it on a dime. If it's not to him, then it's Puka. You know, that's how our offense rolls. We'll get to that in due time. But that's this week, terrible. Big challenge, man. Got Michael Parsons coming off the edge. He doesn't rest for anybody. Kind of like how you don't rest. You're up at 3 a.m. 5 a.m., 1 a.m., doesn't matter. You don't care. You got diapers that we got to change, right? He's a handful just like you're a handful. So I got to know how we're going to defend them. It's going to be a tough challenge, but I'm looking forward to it. Glad you're here and looking forward to taking them on, man.
That's pretty good.
Not his best work, right? Not his best impersonation of you.
But he's talking to the baby.
That's got to be surreal, though, to be a new father and have comedians impersonating
you. That's pretty good. So, I give him credit.
Favorite moment from being a father a weekend?
You know, I think just being able to look at him in the eyes and just see how engaged he is and making, you know, I think every single moment, you know, every day, I mean, it's a week now. So every day, even just looking at him before you go and man, does it give me an appreciation for what moms do?
Oh yeah. Wait until they go mobile. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wait until they can get up and walk. Yeah, you're going to have fun with that.
Let's give him a few minutes of his Monday night back.
No doubt. Should we? Yeah, let's get it.
All right, thank you, Sean.
Thanks,
Save
guys.
A trip to Green Bay and go
appreciate
get a win
it.
Going into your bye. For Sean McVay, DeMarco Farr, I'm JB Long. As always, the Coach McVay Show is presented by Microsoft Surface.